Welcome to the spotlight, the spotlight.
No, no commercials in the
spotlight, the spotlight. We get personal in the spotlight, the spotlight. Hey, welcome to the spotlight series. My name Nutty, yeah, he take it serious. We wanna know about your life and where you came from. What's your story? Tell us where you got your name from. Where you started, when you gon' finish, when the game done. A lot of characters in this movie, you the main one. Hey, welcome to the spotlight, the spotlight. Hey, welcome to the spotlight, the spotlight. This the spotlight series.
Welcome to the spotlight, the spotlight. No commercials in the spotlight, the spotlight. We get personal in the spotlight, the spotlight. This the spotlight series.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the South Harmon Spotlight. It's been a few weeks, last with Shane Manila. But this week, I got somebody new, somebody special, somebody that I met at the expo. Which is why I tell everybody you need to go to the Fantasy Football Expo, because relationships are formed there. It's my man, Dynasty Key. What's up, buddy? How you doing? Welcome into the spotlight.
Mike, thanks for having me. Hey, it was great meeting you at the expo. And look, first you're making content and it's been amazing. So 3 weeks in and this season is just as wild as I've ever remembered it being. And it's been a whirlwind just trying to keep up on the content side, you know.
Yeah. First full season doing content for you. Is that right?
That's right. I started in January this year, this off season.
So you're going to have like a full year come playoff time. I love it.
Yeah. I'm going to be a seasoned vet by the next expo.
Doesn't it age you? Like, don't you feel like you're 10 years older too, like trying to do this shit now?
Yeah, man. I'm like, there's just so many things that I can be doing at all times. It just never ends. But hey, got a love for the game. So. No problem for me.
Well, for those people who are unfamiliar tuning in with your work, where can they find your stuff at right now? Like, what are you doing? What's the content look like? Audio, video, written, behind the scenes stuff. You know, that's people don't understand how much work that shit is. The behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, man. I've gone just full force to just make sure I'm getting every opportunity to learn as much as possible. So. In January, I actually met with Mason Dodd from the Fantasy Flock. He lives here in Austin as well. That's where we both went to college and graduated. Been following his content for a while, but just met him at a meet and greet. I didn't talk to him about me making a channel or anything like that. I just wanted to talk to him. Didn't even ask how he's been successful or anything like that. I just know he works his ass off and is grinding all the time. And the very next week, the Podfather from Player Profiler had put out a call for folks. Hey, if you're interested in being a producer, let me know. And I ended up becoming a producer with Player Profiler. And now I'm actually the YouTube manager for Player Profiler. So, you know, it's been going great over there. But actually that same week that I joined with Player Profiler, I started my own football channel called Dynasty Football Key. And that's been so much fun, just learning how to design. And like, I'm like, am I this creative? Dang, I didn't even know, because I'm making graphics left and right. And, you know, like for me on my channel, I just love making sure that people who are visual learners can actually see a lot of the stats and statistics of, you know, the different players and just, you know, cool graphics for the guests that I have on. And, you know, I call it bringing the keys when I have different guests like you. Mike, when you came on, you know, you got your own way of doing Dynasty, whether that's Tier Down King or whatever that might be. So everybody's got their own key to the game. So that's why I wanted to be able to bring to my channel, you know, just different perspectives from the Dynasty community. And that's been going great, you know, building the channel day by day, you know, year-round fantasy football content. And I went to the Fantasy Football Expo. You know, my wife has suggested, like, let's just try to find a way to just keep growing this thing over the summer. And she actually just looked up on ChatGPT and it said, go to the Fantasy Football Expo.
Oh, wow. So, ChatGPT with the clutch.
Yeah. I wouldn't be here without it. It's kind of crazy. AI for the win in this spot. But
them damn robots are learning, man.
Yeah.
Learning.
They know what the people want. So, yeah, you know, I got a buddy who is in my very first Dynasty League. I've got a graphic design buddy who he's been making all of the design work for me, Ethan, and he's awesome. I actually met up with him earlier today to work on some stuff, but, you know, been working with him and he got me like a banner made for the expo, and, you know, just everything is just looking on point. So, you know, feeling really good about what we've been able to do there. And, you know, as the season come around, you know, just making more and more content and was getting involved with Player Profiler some more and more. And I ended up having a show on the Player Profiler news channel, with Biggs. You know, that show is the Dynasty Stock Market, and that comes out every week, just going over kind of the rises and fallers in Dynasty. And then I also happen to work with a good friend of Biggs, Grindberg, Mike Lindberg, who he's with the Undroppables and Player Profiler. And these guys, everyone's working everywhere kind of simultaneously, I'm finding out. But, you know, Mike is, you know, he's been great. We do the Dallas Cowboys Uncovered show over there. So right now I'm doing my channel, a Player Profiler news channel, and the Undroppables team specific Cowboys channel called Cowboys Uncovered. So I'm staying busy on the content creation side, you know, making multiple shows a week for different channels and my own, and then also managing the team of producers for Player Profiler. You know, we've got, you know, 15, and we're doing a bunch of interviews right now. You know, just vetting through that and getting people signed to different shows just to make sure we've got, you know, timestamps in there and all, you know, all the different sponsors that are in there, you know, make sure we've got the next video kind of queued up in the playlist. There's just so much that goes into making these shows, and the consistency is what I've really found in fantasy football is super important, or look, any walk of life, to be honest. That consistency, like, you got it, Mike. You and your team, y'all are grinding. That's what I love, and I respect that by everybody that I've come on, that I've had on my show, and that's let me come on their show. It's just grinding, you know, being able to find something that I'm super passionate about. I couldn't trade that in for anything in the world. So it's been a great off season, and I ain't tired yet, man. I'm ready to keep going.
Made like Kevin Gates, man. I don't get tired. You sound like a busy man, not a lot of free time in there. How did you get into the fantasy football in the first place? When did that start? You know, how did you, the first league, who got you in it? How'd you do?
Yeah. My first league was actually in college, so maybe later than some people. I had some friends. Was, hey, look, don't hate. It was an 8-team league. And. Whoa. You know, that's all we, you know, no one really knew what they were doing. We liked football. I started to get my passion for football when I went to college, at, you know, UT. It was the same year that we actually lost the national championship game, when Colt McCoy went down in the half of the injury. So that was brutal. Bama. I was hoping that I would go to college and everyone, everyone's excited, you know, like the girls are excited, and you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, everybody's feeling good.
Yeah, it'd have been a nice time to come in there, but nope, everyone's sad. So, you know, we had a fantasy football league, and I actually really like NFL way more because I could just kind of, I just like the, when I watch sports, I actually am watching because I kind of like seeing amazing things that I just can't imagine myself doing. Because when I was a kid, I always would play. I was playing in every sport. So I would never watch the game. I was just playing the game. So, you know, once I started seeing some of these incredible athletes doing some crazy stuff and just blowing my mind, you know, it just really got me hooked. And I won that first league, that 8-man league. You know, we've since expanded it. So you can stop the hate there. But, you know, it's just been a passion of mine. You know, once you have the one league, then you get in a couple others. And then one of our other friends kind of introduced us to Dynasty. He said, hey, you want to join this league? And I was just like, yeah, sure. And, you know, now I've been in that Dynasty league for 10 years. You know, I always hear about leagues folding. I've still never been in the league that's folded. I'm actually in at least like 20 Dynasty leagues. I'm in zero best ball dynasty leagues. I know that's your jam. So like I'm trying to manage all these leagues on top of all this other stuff. Yeah, man, it's been fun just ever since then, been hooked, you know.
What was it that that kind of made you want to go down the dynasty route versus, you know, a lot of people, they go into redraft, and that's kind of where they always stay. They never branch out. What, listen, I'm all for it, man. I went down the dynasty route, and I said, fuck that redraft stuff. Like, I don't care. It's dynasty or bust for me. What made you go down that path of dynasty?
I didn't like when I got good at fantasy football because I was, you know, paying attention more than everyone else. Like, clearly I am now, but I was then too. And at that point, I'm like, okay, I know way too much. And now I don't even get to keep these players. So it was just one of those things where you start the dynasty path and you're like, okay, not only can I win, but I can have fun rebuilding and I can kind of do some speculation on these future prospects and just see if you're right on that stuff. And really my issue is I just can't stop trading all my good players to my good teammates because I love trading too much. Maybe that's what I am hooked on, is just the trading, because that little dopamine hit every time you get that accept button hit. But I just like the strategy more and the just more activity, because in the redraft leagues, I do notice that the only trades that were happening was if I was doing them, and it's really in redraft, it's just who is getting the most points, and you don't have the same type of flexibility to make moves. So it just takes out part of the game. I feel like there's more smack talk in some of these dynasty leagues. People are more invested too. You have less of those, you know, every year in a redraft, there's all, you know, somebody getting replaced because they're dropping off or whatever. So it's just more invested in the game. And, it's just better than redraft. Sorry, guys.
Don't be sorry. Don't be sorry. It's better. I got to ask, too, with Dynasty, a lot of people that I've had on here and interviewed with, Madden has played a big role in, like, kind of how people got into Dynasty, with franchise mode just being, like, what everybody preferred to play. Like, head-to-head with your buddies is fun and all, but a lot of people just put grinding that franchise, not even playing the games because they don't give a shit, just out there drafting and trading. That's all they wanted to do. Was that the case with you? Like, was Madden franchise mode something that kind of got you into the feel of, like, team building?
I definitely played, but I preferred head-to-head with my buddies, okay, to be honest. We would do Madden tournaments. So that was my jam, just like random tournaments and just going at it. Like, I love like Madden 05 with Mike Vick. Like, they put that like hit stick mode on, and they had like the three camera angle changes whenever you knock somebody out. And that was just so epic. And you got Mike Vick, just a cheat code running around the field. like, that was just so fun. And even NCAA back then, because I felt like NCAA was faster than Madden too. So it was always just like, whenever you go from NCAA to Madden, like, the guys are just a little bit slower. I like that my era too, because it was when online first came out. And so I was one of the earlier people that my friend group that had online, and, so we would get on some tournament with some people out there too. So I was more into that. I was getting into like the create a character mode, not necessarily the whole team build. I was like just making that freak athlete or starting from scratch and just seeing how far I could go to build them up in the league. And really
get you.
Yeah, really, that was always my jam.
For me, the Madden or the college football, you know, the Road to Glory or the create a character, like, their game modes always kind of stunk to me. And maybe it was just because, like, MLB The Show was so good at the one that they had. And then, obviously, when 2K came out with their stuff, it was like, oh, this is how it should be. Like, you feel like it's a challenge to progress yourself and get better and keep moving on. But the football ones always felt like they were lagging behind, right? They were just a little bit, you could have done better.
And it's tough, too, because it's really only two-player, you know, like, you can't pull it off doing four player, really. Like, it's so bad. It's like, unless you're the quarterback and the running back, it's just so hard to, you know, just be the receiver out there, or in a defense is okay. But like with The Show, at least the early MLB games, I remember like four player was okay. And then they just took it out of the game. They were just only 1v1 for years. And I think they brought it back kind of recently. Now I just do Home Run Derby on those, but yeah, man, it had its spots, but you know, Dynasty football, I think that's where I just, you know, really got into the team building aspect. And that's why I like the deeper teams too, because I hate when I have to just make those tough cuts and stuff like that. Like, you got, it's part of the game, but some of these leagues, come on guys, it's a little too shallow.
I get it. So if you had to design your preferred Dynasty league, like from today, like you're going to set it up, this is your preferred one, how many teams are we playing with?
All right, we're playing with 12.
All right,
I'm at 12.
Super flex.
I'm in some 14s, but I want 12 teams. Super flex.
How many starters?
I could do with it or without tight end premium. Give me my. I like my start 11 ones. I've got one with like five wide receivers, but I prefer like four receivers, two flex. Give me two running backs, three receivers, one tight end, two flex, and then super flex.
How many bench spots were you rocking?
At minimum 14 if it's start 11, so I get 25, but I want to get to 30 if possible. That way drafts like what, 360, something like that. Let us at least get the top 300 players, you know.
I like that. What are you doing, trade deadline, no trade deadline?
Oh, this is the question of all questions.
Yeah, these are fighting words for some people.
Yeah, I'm doing no trade deadline.
My man.
So I'm doing no trade
deadline. Welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard. Look, we're all adults. I haven't seen any egregious trades. Actually, in my OG Dynasty League, we did one season of our 10 with a trade deadline, and that was I did the math and I showed everybody that was the least amount of trades we did in forever, and everyone was like, yeah, I don't see the point. It didn't, like, there were, and I actually showed all of the playoff trades that had happened in all of the years prior. There was nothing that was like league tilting in it, and in fact, everyone who made the trade to try to acquire a player, they actually end up losing in our case. That wouldn't always be the case, but it was just, I was able to just hammer these guys like, look, there's no reason to have a trade deadline. It hasn't hurt anybody. And we're all adults. Make a real trade. Don't get fleeced. And I'm also a team no veto. Like, I saw an egregious trade yesterday, and I didn't even say anything. I was like, oh my God. Not in this league. This is a different league. Like, what are you guys doing? But you can make your own decisions. And if it's helping both teams, especially those rebuilders, to be honest, the playoffs is the best time for a rebuilder. I would say, like, maybe the first few weeks, like right now, when people are – don't, you know, finally realizing, oh, this is who these players are, or they slept on all the veterans because they hated the veterans. So, like, beginning of the season and end of the season, when people are just desperate to get that win, is kind of the best time for these rebuilders. So give those guys a chance to make a comeback. Come on.
All right. Are you how are you with the trash talk in the league? Like, let's say it's a, you know, like some leagues are, I mean, I'm not going to say they're inactive, but there's not a lot of back and forth in between, and people are just there to play, and you know, it's just a portfolio thing. But there's some leagues where there's a lot of shit talking goes on almost all the time. You active in that, or no, are you more of the standby?
I'm the most trash talker in most of my leagues, except for one league that I just joined, my first IDP league. There's some shit talkers in there, but like in our Discord, I'll be just posting, you know, every week, you know, how my players are doing or whatever. Like, there's one guy, our commissioner, I wonder if he'll ever hear this, but he, you know, once upon a time, he's a Texans fan, and I offered him, here, you can have a young rookie pre-week one CJ Stroud, and all you have to give me is Geno Smith in the first round pick. And he just like went off on me and was like, no, that's horrible, because it was the game after Stroud had kind of a bad preseason game. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, I don't. And I was like, if someone was offering me the Cowboys quarterback, you know, I'm a Cowboys fan, I would take that trade. And you know, we know history, you know, bears out what happened with Stroud. He's a beast. So I like to throw back every highlight for CJ Stroud every week I can. There's this, you know, every GOAT conversation, like pre-GOAT, everything premature, you know, just over egregious, just make sure, just rub it in his face. But I never like post that conversation. I just just keep posting a bunch of Stroud highlights. He knows what's up.
I like that. I got a couple guys like that in some of my leagues, and they always want to chirp me. And I play in 60 fucking leagues, man. I don't have time to sit in there and trash talk every single person. So I see it. Right? But there's a few times, man, like when people would trigger me, like they're really like tagging me, and you know, you get the goddamn notification on your phone, and you're like, what the hell does this dude want? You know, you go in there and it's just some junk trash talk. Some of them, like, I go above and beyond to try to body bag the living fuck out of. Like, I will go back through league history. I will go look at every single trade that they made in that league, post screenshots. I don't give a fuck. Don't come start no shit if you don't want no shit.
Yeah, man. Hey, I do have a question for you. I mean, is there just egregious trades you get and you're just like, what is this?
All the time.
And it's not like you don't have time to respond, but I was curious. Are you one of those people that are just, you know, let it go in stride, or you chirp back, but like, what is this? Come on, man.
Anymore, I just let them go in stride, right? Just so yeah. I don't have time to burn that bridge. Yeah, I don't have time to do the shit. It always works out badly, makes, you know, bad trade partners. I'll just politely decline and move on. Some of them, like, all right, so just for an example, for anybody who's listening who wants to know, like, how to get to Mike as far as, you know, trading and make deals with Mike, one, don't send no bullshit right off the bat, right? Because I'm probably going to counter with some bullshit if you really piss me off. Or two, it might be so bad that I can't even counter. I just decline and ignore the shit out of you. But if you really want some dialogue, you know, come close to start. And I always try to send a counter as long as the offer is in the ballpark. You know what I mean? But lately, it seems like some of the shit that's been said to me, I'm like, why? Why do you think I'm... Listen, man, I do this 365 days a year. What the fuck do you think I was going to take that trade for? So, yeah, we won't name any names, but there's a few, you know, like... Trade my Brock Bowers straight up for Mark Andrews. Like, why the fuck would I do that at this point in the game? You know what I mean? Like,
maybe they don't know you have your own channel.
I don't know. Maybe, you know, like the things where I got to buy like fucking Jordan Mason, Carson Steele, and Andre Yoshivas for a fucking first. It's like, nah.
Yeah.
Nah. Ain't no fucking way, boy. I ain't doing this shit. So. These are some of the most egregious where I just go, what the hell?
Yeah, there's some crazy people in these chats, because when you're in enough leagues, you're in some leagues with some people you don't even know. And yeah, I just let it go. And sometimes, like, I don't know, people just don't know how to have a civil negotiation conversation, you know, so you just got to let that stuff go sometimes.
It's kind of a weird spot in the season, too, like right now when you're first getting started. Because we're just coming out of, you know, rookie fever. You know how that shit is. Rookie hype is just to the moon. And anytime a rookie does something now, everybody gets excited and everybody was about draft picks. And now people are starting to switch towards fantasy points being scored. And they want to get more fantasy points on their team, yet they're overvaluing the shit out of their first round picks. So, like, the deals necessarily don't come. Now, the ones that I do appreciate are those, I like to call them fish. You know, every time they got a draft pick, it's burning a hole in their pocket, and they don't give a fuck, you know. Hey, Jordan Mason for first? Yeah, I'll send you my first. Let me get that thing on my team right now. Need them points. I appreciate those people because they keep the league fun.
Yeah.
I just need to do a better job of highlighting them, you know. Like, I need a little black book that just says, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Steve just, over here.
Just put a little alarm in your phone for next year whenever sleeper first puts that pick in your pocket, you know. I actually was listening to you and Adam's live earlier today, and I think y'all were saying something about those people with those picks just burning a hole in their pocket, man. I don't know.
They're hot, man. They're hot. Yeah. Must be hard on their thigh. They got to get them out there before they burn their leg off. I don't know what it is. But so generally, if you had to kind of say, like, what's your overarching strategy at Dynasty? Are you more like a guy who likes to compete almost every single year? Do you like really rebuilding? I mean, like, what is your preferred way to do it?
Yeah. I actually do prefer rebuilding. I feel like in those scenarios, you can have a lot more control of what's going to end up happening. Like, I know it seems like there's less certainty with the future, and there's, of course, I've been burned, right, with some picks here and there. But when you're actually rebuilding, you're not just tanking and doing nothing. The word build is in that, and you're actually actively doing things to just add and accumulate as much, you know, picks as you can to your roster. I've had so many teams where, and some of them actually came to fruition this year, where I just had tons of picks, and I have like back to back Marv and Malik Neighbors on this team, and just, you know, Jaden Daniels on those same squads. I actually have the top three receivers from this class in one of my leagues. So you're able to kind of just crush, especially if you can bet against the right team that thinks that they're good and they're actually going to tank. I mean, even the teams that are just not good, it just depends on who they are. They don't care anyway. They'll make a move. So I've been able to just build some incredible teams and just be able to crush that way. Requested work with the player profiler team. I had mentioned to the CEO there that I was in a league with him because he, you know, has these listener leagues and stuff like that. And I had actually won three out of the four seasons of that league that I was in there. But the only way you get in that league, there's only one vacancy per year, and it's the loser, the last place team is exited from the league, and then somebody takes over. So I took over the worst team in that league, and one year one, after like trading away a Julio Jones and getting XYZ and making some moves in the offseason, as soon as I got the team and just started crushing these guys. I don't even know how I pulled it off that fast, but just a lot of these teams that even I won, like my home dynasty team, I won year one, the first season of it, and I actually blew it up right then and there because I just wanted to mess around and learn how to rebuild. So my first experience was winning my first dynasty league, and then my very next move was to blow it up and learn how to rebuild the team. And now I feel very confident in being able to not only get the right assets, but also, you know, scout who's the talented players that get added to my team. So that's been my move. There's a startup recently where I did try to go more all in, just because of the buy-in, and I'm in first place there, but I just hate what I did to that team. I did give up a lot of picks, and it's just not – it's scary future, man. If I don't win this year, I'm a little worried in those win-now rosters. But these these dynasty teams where I've been building for a while, they feel bulletproof to a certain degree, because even if you think you're – you get to the draft class and the scouting feels a little off. You're like, actually, it's a little bit weaker than I thought. Then you can start to make some trades, because we got some other trade happy league mates as well who have no picks now. And now I've kind of got all the leverage there. So it kind of works both ways too. You could just make the choice on what you want to do when the time's right.
I like that. I like that. Well, speaking of rookies and draft picks, like, what is your overarching process when it comes to rookie scouting? You know, is it a lot of film? Is it a lot of analytics? Is it a combination of both? Is it, you know, just you watching football throughout the season? You know, what kind of goes into your rookie process where you decide, like, man, this is kind of why I favor this guy over this guy? And, you know, it's Dynasty Superflex League, so you have to take in positional value and all that stuff into it too when you're trying to make your draft picks. But what goes into your process?
Yeah, so right now there's actually college games going on, but, you know, I'm not watching those right now. I will watch some of my favorite teams, but in the off season I'll go through and watch a lot of the key players that from what I have seen over the season and what it looks like are top prospects. I'll make sure I get through those, watching the film on those. Like, that was an experience actually going through film watching, because I didn't exactly know what I was looking for. I had done different shows with different people, and every time I was kind of asking advice on what should I be looking for. So I'm not saying I had a perfect process, but I actually feel a lot better now. And I had no help the years prior, but I was even watching film back then before getting into content creating. So definitely used to watching that, and like, this NFL All 22 membership I've got is great, and they've even made that better now. Like, the stats are just so easy to see. I have watched film. I even have videos on film breakdowns on my channel, and I worked with some guys and partnered with some guys who were film first guys and did film breakdowns with them. But also, I built my first statistical databases this offseason, and I felt like those are looking good. I mean, I don't know. Maybe everyone knew Neighbors was going to be a beast, obviously, but like, there's just so you just look at some of these stats, and you know, I'm comparing 10 years worth of data of college prospects who are entering the NFL, and I'm looking at how they've done against all these other guys, like this new incoming class. I'm looking at how they've done compared to their previous classes, and so I've got a database that we actually have packaged into a product called the Phenom Finder, and I'm able to use that as a second way of me doing statistical analysis, because the Phenom Finder is actually based on physical traits, and then I have a separate set of statistical analysis that I do just for, hey, how did they do when they actually were, whether it's a receiver catching and receptions, yards, or, you know, all the other metrics of the other players. But the Phenom Finder, you know, we're looking at, you know, how athletic are these guys compared to other top 12 players at their position over the past 10 years. And, you know, so I'm literally looking at a comparison of Megatron versus this 2024 year's Malik Neighbors and Xavier Worthy, who's at the top of that list athletic wise. And a lot of these other guys like a Brian Thomas Jr. So being able to see two different statistical lenses, because when I see stats from most people, it is just based on the stats that the were produced on the field. And from what I've learned, production begets production. So I do lean towards the statistical on-field production more than I do my Phenom Finder. But I feel like it's helped me also sift through to just make sure I'm not missing someone in the cracks, or someone that we really believe in. Like, I was able to see with that, you know, how, like, look, Amon-Ra was not a guy we should have been sleeping on. I didn't have this database at this time when I was, you know, able to draft Amon-Ra, but like, it was able to uncover a lot of guys like that. And I had made that particular Phenom Finder with a guy named TD from Fantasy Good Sports. So that we put together using some different metrics that we look for there. But yeah, man, for my scouting for players, it's a combination of all that, man. Film, production, on-field stats, and physical stats. And so I feel like this year it's been working, and I feel pretty good about a lot of the picks that we were given advice for.
I like it. Let me ask you, when it comes to rookie draft, some people are psychopaths and they really enjoy drafting before the NFL draft, before draft capital is known. What's your take on that? Would you ever do one of those? Do you do any currently? Or hell no, I need to see that draft capital.
I'm not currently in any. I have been in a best ball, like for you know, a seasonal best ball like that, just like an early best ball, but not. Yeah, I have some currently that are day of, like once the draft happens, the clock starts. So that's about as far as I'll go. I do want to know where they land, man. But I'm not against the other way. If you invited me to a dynasty league and it was pre-draft, I'm not going to bow out because of that. No way.
That's good, because I'm a psychopath in every league that I start as the rookie draft 1 month before the NFL draft.
Yeah, I'm down to do the work, because you know that time period where it's like you're just waiting like for the draft.
You are.
Like you've already done a bunch of research, because I started this channel in January. Like you're already in full swing and probably already looking at this class in December and things like that, right? Like by the time April rolls around, you're locked in and you feel pretty good about some of your player takes. And yeah, we have some unexpected twists and turns on draft night, but for the most part, to be honest, I feel like there's a lot of upside to drafting early and being able to just put your process to the test. You can get some steals.
I love it.
I would have had Worthy over it, like so far ahead of everybody already, because he was a rookie. And again, I'm in Texas, it's a little biased, but he was a rookie who also had that production, you know, not just the speed that I thought I could see, because I was locked into those games. So I would have been a real homer on him and Adonai Mitchell and Jonathan Brooks and all that. But yeah, man, I'm all for it.
Like this, anytime, anywhere. This past year, right, there was a lot of Bo Nix in the mid to late second.
You know? Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, not everybody was sold that guy was going to be a first round quarterback. I mean, there were some people who took him early, but that's the kind of guy where you lucked into a starting NFL first round drafted quarterback with a 209.
Like, yeah.
Cha-ching. Yeah,
he's still, not too, maybe even in August, Bo Nix, I still saw fall into the early second, but yeah, late second, that's exactly where he was going offseason. So, I mean, that's just a steal at that point.
Yeah, there's a lot of wild stuff like that happens. And then conversely, there's also bad stuff,
like his teammate, Troy Franklin.
Yes. Yep, Troy Franklin would be a good one. The one that always haunts me is going to be Malik Willis.
that one killed everyone. That one had to hurt because one thing that I talked about maybe on my second episode or third episode was the evolution of the quarterback position. And, I was actually doing maybe it was a 2026 rookie draft at the time. And I was talking about Nico Iamaliva from Tennessee, the quarterback there, and how, he's maybe, just a full transformation of this rushing quarterback that we want because he's got the, huge size, he's got the arm talent, and he's got the speed on the ground. And at the time of making that, we had a Jaden Daniels coming out who had actual prolific passing metrics and also had the rushing metrics. But then in past years, you've got we'll just say, you go like Lamar, who is great at running. He can pass. That's a fact. He can. But then before then, you've got like a Cam Newton who can run. All right. He's getting it done there and he's elite there. And then, you've got a little bit slower guys before that in older generations, maybe like your boy McNabb or whatever that might be. So it's just really cool to see that transition over time. And I mean, I just love it because there's just so much more talent coming out. Even though there's less parents that want to put their kids into football, you just see the game is changing, and it's pretty awesome to see.
The evolution of the quarterback position is something crazy, right? Now, if you're a Peyton Manning-esque pocket passer, a statue, nobody wants you.
Yeah, so, yeah. So,
you gotta be able to move around.
My point was that Malik Willis. He looked like he could rush, right? But he didn't have the passing. Recently we've seen it. If he's under a good coach, there is some ability to get something out of him. He had a good game this past week. But point is, it's like with that draft class, we thought he was going to be a first round quarterback, and he ended up going in the third or fourth to the Titans, whatever it was. And yeah, those pre-draft rookie drafts, they can really hurt you there because the dynasty game is maybe at least half about the dynasty value, the perception in people's minds, right? So even if you held on to Willis all the time and you got this start out of him, the value, that sale shipped a long time ago. Where it was the opposite for the guy he actually replaced this week in Jordan Love, where he lost a lot of time on people's bench or waivers and then maybe you figured it out later. Not everybody's gonna have that story, so yeah, we like having all the information, but still I'm down for whatever, man. I love the challenge.
I love it. I'm a psychopath, so that's all I do anymore. I'd say probably 25-30, about half almost at this point now are going to be pre-NFL draft. And then I got to ask you, have you dove into the C2C realm at all? Like, are you in any C2C leagues? And if you are, how do you enjoy them?
Yeah, I'm in two C2C leagues right now. Shout out to those guys. They do great work over there. Love their content. I'm a member over there. And I'm in one official league, one league that just some folks that are in the C2C just made at random that I joined. And right now I won one of them in my first year, and I'm the best team in the other league right now, but I haven't won that league yet. So both teams are the best, basically one of the top three teams on the NFL side, but they are both the number one worst on the college side.
Oh.
That's my strategy. And I think they already know in those leagues what our strategy is. Since having a second kid, we ended up doing co-managing. So now I brought in a co-manager, but I won the first ring on my own. But anyway, I just cashing out on those future first or future seconds, whatever they might be, just to give me some proven assets. Because with the college journey, like, of course, if I'm going to say I'm into drafting the day before the draft, yeah, I'm down for CDC. But with the college journey, there's a lot more time, right? You're drafting these players as freshmen who they don't even know what college is like. And yes, I have guys on my team right now that are in police altercations, I'll say, to be
nice.
Politically correct. There's so many crazy things that these students get into. So you just got to understand that nothing is a guarantee in that campus to canton type of format. It's just, you know, minimum 3-year window before they even get to the NFL. So many things can change in that time. It is cool to get some values, but, you know, I'll be honest, since I was new to it, I was like, let me just focus on what I know, which is the NFL side, get those early buy-ins paid for. And we've already done that, mission accomplished. And now we can start really digging in on the college side. And kind of good timing, since now my team's ranked number one in the nation.
There you go, man. There you go. You don't have to worry about it. No, Fizz and I, we're co-managing the C2C league together. So we're trying a new strategy where we focused all on the college side. And we took 3 like NFL picks, and then we just like, fuck it, it's all going to be college from here on. Oh, man. So sometimes it pays off, sometimes it don't. I think as the C2C leagues kind of get more evolved, more people get into them, the data, the tools, all that stuff gets a little bit better. We'll have better long-term projections, because you're right. Like, if you think about in recent history, you know, DJU was supposed to be that dude at quarterback, and now we've been making memes of him for a while, but the memes are getting pretty bad now. You know, Cade Klubnik, another guy that was supposed to be there. Malachi Nelson last year in supplemental C2C drafts the first or second pick. And Dante Moore now is sitting behind, you know, Dylan Gabriel in Oregon, and we're waiting his turn. We don't even know if he's good or
not. Even last year, this past draft, Cedric Baxter, right. You know, he was a first-round pick. I saw people take him ahead of Arch Manning in a couple of drafts. Mm-hmm. He got injured week one, or maybe before then. You know, this stuff changes so quickly. So, I love that format, man. It's awesome. I think CDC needs some healthy competition as far as the content creators. There's some folks out there, though. So keep grinding, because it only will help grow the industry. We need more people into it. I've gotten more of my friends into it. So that's the format that I absolutely want to see grow, because it is fun, especially when you have your college team on there, or even if you don't, it's just cool to see like the ebbs and flows of a guy's career. Like, I had Quinn Ewers on a squad, right? And like, I tried to get like a Drake May trade done before Drake May was in the NFL, like last season, couldn't get it done. And then like, as soon as I didn't get that trade done, Ewers just had an awful game, and then, you know, value kind of cratered. And then I'm going into the offseason like, oh, this is not going well. And then like, then he gets a little bump this year at the start, and then we're the number one team, and then he gets injured, and now it looks like the Arch Manning show. So it's still just the same kind of chaos in the NFL fantasy, but you know, it's just you know, younger chaos. I don't know.
We're having a good time. Our first pick in this league, we went with a freshman that hadn't even played football yet, so we went with Jeremiah Smith. And let's just say the start to the season for that true freshman has made me very happy. It's like, we get 3 years of this shit on the college side, and then he goes to the NFL. Like, this dude looks like an NFL receiver right now at 18. I love it.
Yeah, let me tell you a horror story about that. But first I'll say, I made like a TikTok video about him, because that dude just crushed week one. Like, come on now. You know, we were talking about behind the scenes stuff, like this. Social media in general, trying to keep up with all that stuff. I had like a Travis Hunter video blow up to 42,000 views, you know, randomly. Like, it's just crazy how, you know, you learn what different people want to see, highlights wise and stuff like that. So I've been trying to do that on the side. But my horror story for Jeremiah Smith is that last season in my Win Now team, where I was trying to be the back-to-back champ, I ended up trading away the 101 because my college teams are awful on purpose. But I trade that 101, which is now Jeremiah Smith, for a tight end. Just guess the tight end's name. He should have been the number one tight end. Let's just say that.
Should have been the number one tight
end. Yeah, normally is always the number one tight end.
Mark Andrews.
Sorry, it's Travis Kelce. But it's Travis Kelce. I got him thinking, yeah, I had Mahomes on that team, and I actually already had Mark Andrews on a team, and I had Lamar Jackson on a team. So I have Lamar Jackson, Andrews,
you got all the stacks.
And Mahomes and Kelce on a team now. So I was like, yeah, it's Taylor Swift's not a problem. And he didn't do anything for us. We missed the playoffs by one spot, and now I got a nice doorstop on my teams.
I love it, man. I didn't think Taylor Swift was going to get brought up on this podcast today, but since she did, like whenever I go to do the outro, I'm editing in a Taylor Swift song. Like I'll find one for you, bud.
Yeah, that'll boost the views, man.
That's right. Like I get on the Swifties and.
I didn't mean to be that guy, but it was just it just killed me how that turned so quickly. But that's Dynasty/CDC.
So the last couple of things before I let you go out of here, just talking about growing your channel and being in the content game. Are you somebody that sets a lot of goals for themselves, or are you like behind the scenes? For me, I just kind of fly by the seat of my pants, man. Fuck it. I learned stuff along the way. I don't have any set goals or like milestones I want to reach, but a lot of really successful people set a lot of goals for themselves. Like kind of how do you approach it? Are you just enjoying the time, or do you have a set schedule that you're trying to reach? Like I want to be here by this and I want to do this by this.
Yeah. So I did set a goal. When I first started my channel, I've been listening to a lot of content for years, right? And for some reason, I'm actually very tapped into the Carolina Panthers YouTube space. And I've had at least six people as a guest from Carolina. But one person who I watched a lot of content from is just an NFL Panthers YouTube creator, Unk2020. And I took a seminar of his. He was just giving people a game on how to create a channel and things like that, just stuff that goes into it. And one of the things he said was just to make sure you have goals for yourself. So I took that to heart. And with YouTube specifically, there are monetization goals. Those benchmarks of subscriber counts. So like my first goal is get to 500 subscribers, and then they have another one at 1,000. Right. And then for me outside of that, my overarching goal was like, how can I do fantasy full time? Since I am so passionate about it. So even though I have those subscriber goals that I haven't hit yet, I'm about 153 away from that first benchmark. So we're going to get there this season. Getting work in this space, you know, that's already come to fruition. I do get a check from that player profiler team, and, really love working with everyone that I come in contact with. I've done some co-live streams with some folks, and they've shared some revenue with me. Not something I even asked for. I wouldn't even ask for that. But point is, like, I have been able to reach that goal of like getting something back for the work I do here, because I'm putting a lot of time into it, man. A lot of time behind the scenes making graphics, like just to make this week three rankings video I'm about to put out. I mean, just to get the graphics right is taking way longer than the video is going to take, like maybe 5x the amount of time the video is going to take to make. I'm putting into making sure the graphics are right. I feel like I like the goals that I've got in front of me, and I'm going to set new goals. I don't have an infinite goal, but I've got my vision right in front of me. It's kind of like when you're, you know, in the NFL and you're worried about this week, day by day, what can you do to get better every day? And you just focus on the goal in front of you. And then once you reach that goal, you set a new goal and you just keep climbing and you just keep climbing. So that's what I'm going to do, man. And I appreciate a lot of people, a lot of the support that I've got from folks in the fantasy space. It's definitely true that folks in this community, just really awesome folks. And, a lot of people just been willing to help out, give me whether it's advice or just their time in general. So I appreciate everybody that's been grinding for way longer than I have. And let's keep going. Let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, met so many incredible people in my 3 years doing this now. I don't even fucking know how long, whatever, whatever it is. And it seems to grow every single year, man. You know, I run into you just by chance at the expo. You know, I just happen to be drinking tequila or whatever the fuck I was drinking in the same general vicinity as you and your beautiful family. And we strike up a conversation. And now you fast forward. I've been on your channel. You've been on our channel. You got all these South Harbor people on there guesting. And now I'm sitting down and interviewing you. It's pretty incredible, like this journey, this community that we're a part of. So a lot of really good people here. A lot of people to help you out and do whatever they can to try to see everybody be successful. So really appreciate having you on. Before we get out of here, though, let everybody know your socials, where they can find you, what your channel is. And, you know, you already teased that you got a video coming out here that
yeah.
You should probably watch.
Yeah, guys. Well, appreciate the time. You can find me on X at Dynasty F Key. And my YouTube channel is Dynasty Football Key. And do shows there every week. I've got a show coming out later today for some rankings. So every week we're doing rankings. I'm doing the waiver wire. I'm doing the I'm also doing pick'em. That's one of the passions I've got. I love pick'em. And you know, some of the comments I got were I want spread too. So I got those in there. I actually had them covered every episode, but I wasn't like emphasizing it a little bit enough. So yeah, just doing that. I'm also in some confidence pools, but they're not as popular. So anyway, yeah, we got that show. And then also with the other channels I'm on for this season, it's the Dynasty Stock Market on Player Profiler News. And I am doing Cowboys Uncovered with the Undroppables. So that comes out on Mondays. The Dynasty Stock Market show that comes out on Tuesdays. And yeah, all the other shows come out throughout the rest of the week. So I'm ready and excited for this season, man. Guys, I appreciate the time. Go subscribe, help me out, help me get to 500. Let's get that first goal in the books. Let's
help him out, man. Help him out. There's plenty of y'all who are gonna listen to this. Don't be a fucking asshole.
Just go hit the button.
Hit the button. Well, Key, man, it was really good chopping up with you. I can't wait to do more stuff with you in the future, man. Love the journey that you're on. And hey, next year, listen, pen to paper, get your ass to the shit house, man. Get your ass to the shit house. Come stay with us.
Let's go. I can't wait, man.
Come stay with the crew. All right. Thanks, everybody. I'll see you back here whenever the hell I decide to do another episode. I'm kind of sporadic like that, but appreciate everybody tapping in. See y'all next time. Peace.
Hey, remember when you tried to write me off? Uh-huh. Remember when you thought I'd take a loss? Don't you remember you thought that I would need you? Follow procedure, remember? Oh wait, you got amnesia? It was my season for battle wounds, battle scars, body bump, bruise, stabbed in the back, brimstone fire jumping through. Still all my life I got money and power, and you gotta live with the bad blood now. Just for show, if you live like that, you live with ghosts.
You forget, but you never let it go.
Band-aids don't fix bullet holes. You say sorry just for show. If you live like that, you live with ghosts. If you love like that.